Hey, this is Rob Liefeld, and you're listening to Matt, Ian, and Paul on the McSauce Podcast.
Welcome to episode 317 of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian COVID Sharpley and Matt Corona Cassell.
Hello.
And we are here tonight on this very glorious March 16th to bring you the
quarantine episode.
The McSauce Social Distancing Quarantine Guide. How are we going to help you through this, and what are we going to do in this COVID-19 blight? We're going to tell you 19 different ways to beat off.
what else are you going to do?
Front stroke, back stroke, upside down stroke,
foot stroke, thigh stroke. That's a tough one.
Thigh stroke.
Yeah. What we're really going to talk about tonight is all the stuff that we're going to do that we're going to pass along to you. Not like we pass along a virus, but how we pass along good ideas.
Or also just like how to pass the time. Here are some recommendations on how to survive the grueling sitting at home on your couch, generally watching TV, reading books, or listening to music or podcasts. I know, it's horrible, but we're going to get you through it.
And we're going to tell you all the exciting ways to get you through it. But number one on the list is housekeeping with Ian Sharpley. Certainly something in housekeeping is going to get people through this really weird time.
Absolutely. Go to your socials. Check out McSauce on all of the different social medias. We also have a Patreon, as some of you might know. If you're sitting at home and you do have the means, please plop down $5 and check out our exclusive podcast. We do have one last podcast that will be going up that will be in front of the paywall, that will be free on the regular feed. But after that, we're going to have some exclusive material. We recently had our good friend Grimace, or Ryan McCormick, from A Fireside Chat, came into McSauce Studios and sat down with us to record a couple of podcasts this past Saturday. So he will be the last free in the main feed version of the podcast that we have. We were talking about first albums. So that will be the last one that will be free on our regular feed. And then once we go behind the paywall, the following week, we will have Matt doing a solo man podcast. Matt, would you like to talk about it? We've never had somebody doing a one-man booth. So Matt, you recorded it over this weekend. Can you give the listeners at home a little preview of what you did?
Yeah, I decided I was working on this side project. I guess I can't say exactly what it is right now, but I was working on something for
a well-established musician.
Right. His name's Tim Owens, Tim Ripper Owens. He's the former lead singer of Judas Priest. And I was working on something for him, a logo for something that he's doing, and I was kind of inspired to recount the story of when I got to work for him to develop his album artwork for his solo album. So I decided to tell that story. I was a little bit nervous on how it would play out because I've never done this by myself, but
it was your first time.
It was my first time, and
don't be nervous.
And I think it's a pretty decent listen. I get a little bit into like the history of not the history of heavy metal, but a little kind of background on heavy metal. And I think there's a couple samples in there of some of the music that Tim Ripper Owens works on. And if you guys are into that at all, reach out. I am full of recommendations, and I would be happy to recommend things. And even if you're not into heavy metal and you like kind of an interesting story, I think it's a pretty decent story. It's probably my best story, so don't expect anything better than this out of me, at least.
It's going to be a high watermark here that we have. So, yeah, please
which
go to...
Which is the name of a really good Iced Earth song that
high
Timber Burrell sings on.
Best,
yeah.
My best story, don't it's, expect
it's,
less.
It's high watermark.
I see.
It's the final song on my favorite album, The Glorious Burden.
So check out Matt's story coming soon on our Patreon. So go to Patreon, type in MCSOSS, and you will find The Glorious Mixos podcast. Plop down $5 and get exclusive access to our podcasts there. So, Paul, lead us out of the wilderness, man, where we're all at home here suffering from the viruses. What are we going to do?
To be clear, none of us are suffering. True, none of us have had the test, so we don't really know. Any of us could have it. It's a real, roll of the dice which one of us is infected. But we're still staying at home.
Is it one in three? I don't think. I don't think it's.
I would assume we're all fine, but you know what happens when you assume.
You get the corona.
That's how the rhyme goes. Yes. But we're still, we're still trying to be safe and not infect other people just in case. We're staying at home. We're not going into our regular jobs.
You
we're
stayed
just,
home.
I stay home?
You stayed home.
Oh, we came to the studio. We braved the wild.
It was outstanding today.
It was pretty weird coming over here today. There weren't a lot of people on the road.
When I was coming home from work today, I saw a horrible accident going the opposite direction of me on the highway. Car flipped upside down. And I was like, this is it.
Every day.
This is it. That happened in Dawn of the Dead, I'm telling you.
So we're almost there.
On my way home from my hockey games last night, the roads were pretty quiet. Like it was a little bit eerie. So, like, but here we are, everyone went out and bought their toilet paper. Just wipe with your fingers and wash your hand. You don't need toilet paper.
Well, we're out of soap, too.
I would, I'd
just
like
run to some warm water on, it'll be fine.
Just blow on it, just blow it off of your finger. hot breath on your poop hand.
That's just going to cook it.
I would like to say officially that McSauce does not have any kind of medical knowledge. We are not, even if you listened to the episode a while ago where we did travel back in time and become doctors, we are not officially current data. We are only licensed for medieval practices. Right.
I think if coronavirus landed in medieval times, and what was our fucking doctor's office name? What was our practice?
Like stupid, and dumber. Is that a lot? That's law. It's even stupider. I can't even do a real doctor's office.
Yeah, if because we tied it in with the gold rush. It was
pickaxe medicine or something like that. We need t-shirts. We need to go back in time on the podcast, figure out what we called ourselves. It was something like pickaxe medicine.
It was the pickaxe DMD or whatever the fuck. We're going to take care of the coronavirus
in
your
those,
teeth.
We'll dig the gold. We'll get the gold into your teeth and also cure you of corona. Because doesn't, like, silver, like, aren't there whack jobs out there that are like, hey, drink silver and bleach and you'll be fucking fine. So,
well, right
pickaxe,
now?
God, I don't
know.
Yes,
back
right,
then.
No, right now. There are people on TV right now that say, here is silver solution. We'll sell this to you for fucking $50. You drink it, it kills coronavirus.
I don't think you should ever drink bleach.
There are people out there that do that.
And I think at the pickaxe MD offices, we're not going to prescribe bleach. So we're already ahead of the curve. But if people show up with coronavirus, we're going to be like, yeah, you have the fucking flu. Just go home and wait it out. Or drink this moonshine.
Yeah, I would imagine that our cure is like the magic cure-all fucking tequila.
I was, you know, since we did that episode, in my daily life, I keep going back to
thinking like, about how you're a doctor.
I'll run into something, and I did the other day, and but not just the, not necessarily like the medical side of it, but how we were talking about, like, you know, the Biff Tannen way of, you know, getting in with, like, getting in on investments early and, you know, betting on champions, but knowing, aligning ourselves with people that can make aspirin when they can initially make aspirin. Like, that's where we really needed to excel.
Even with the internet, do we know who initially made aspirin? We don't.
We don't, but back then, who knows? Who knows? We don't know, but we are here right now, and, like, this is how I've been spending
speculating.
This is how I've been spending my roughly 12 hours of
quarantine,
thinking about how great we would be as doctors in medieval times. What I did do today is I watched the latest episode of The Walking Dead.
Hey, how relevant to this time.
Right. Clearly, if you've been watching The Walking Dead from the beginning, coronavirus. And 10 seasons later, they're still fighting zombies that are infected with corona or COVID-19. I don't even know what the fuck the difference is.
It's the same thing. It's fine.
Doesn't COVID...
Corona, there are multiple coronaviruses. This particular one is called COVID-19.
Thank you, Dr. Cassell.
Thank you. You're welcome, I mean.
Doctor?
And we talked very briefly earlier about how a lot of people, because I said, yeah, I watched the latest episode of Walking Dead today, and we were like, oh, you're still watching that? But, like, the last few seasons.
I love that impersonation of
it. It sounded just like him. I thought I was looking at him, but then you were
throwing
right.
My voice.
The last few seasons have been.
Wouldn't it go like, wouldn't you think that you're still watching,
you're still watching that?
There we go. That's better.
At some point it was bad. The show was pretty rough. It was slogging. It was doing some, you know, it just the same stuff, you know, for a couple seasons. But it really found its legs again. And the last couple seasons have really been, they've been really good seasons. Like, I've really enjoyed it. And maybe it's just me being a dummy and, like, I should expect so much more from my zombie television show. But, like, these last couple seasons have been really fucking cool. And I think the people that dipped are really missing out on some good stories right now.
I'll take my chances, Ian.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that it is good now and you're enjoying it. I don't think that I can... I'm not mad that I didn't dedicate two or three seasons of bad TV to get to good stuff. It does look like it's kind of cool.
It hasn't been like two or three consecutive bad seasons. Like, it's been 10 years.
Sure?
It's been a lot. Yeah. It's been a lot of ups and downs because
I feel like the last time that we talked about this, which was a while ago, you were very unhappy with the direction that The Walking Dead was going in.
Season two of The Walking Dead is arguably the worst season of television of all time.
Season two?
Two. When, or maybe it's three, whenever they're on Herschel's farm and all they do is talk and cry for,
well, that was two,
for 12 hour-long episodes.
I don't think it was that
fucking
bad,
terrible. But, yeah, I think once Scott Gimple took over as showrunner, like, he really stepped up the pace of it. And I think killing off Andrew Lincoln's Rick Grimes, and they did, like, a six-year time jump, it really freed up the storytelling. I think it took some of the shackles off. These are the people we can't kill. These are the people we have to keep safe. It really let them explore some different areas, and it's been pretty cool.
What kind of connection does it have to the comic book at this point?
It doesn't.
Well, no, that's a lie, because they're fighting the Whisperers or whatever.
Well, yeah.
Those people that dress up in the...
Right,
husks
of
zombies.
That's where
which
we're at.
Which that
we're
looked
in the
pretty
of,
fucking cool.
We're in the middle of the Whisperer War, and the Whisperers are ultimately pretty creepy.
I love that in the books. Matt, did you ever make it that far? It's pretty advanced.
It sounds familiar. I think I maybe got to that point.
And I think I flamed out like right as soon as like that was wrapping up.
Negan's still around, and like he's at the point in the comics where he's ingratiated himself with the Whisperers. Like he's broken out of, you know, Alexandria jail, and he's essentially with the Whisperers now. And the show gives those characters more room to develop themselves, because in the comics, all the stuff with Negan and the Whisperers, it happens so fucking fast. You're like, oh, that's over already. But like this gives it a little more room to breathe. You get to spend more time understanding why these characters are where they're at, who they're aligning themselves with. So it's been cool. I've really enjoyed it. I understand that Walking Dead is not for everyone anymore, but I'm on board.
So, Ian, what do you think you are going to do with your time in quarantine over the next, hopefully, only 2 weeks?
Are you going to watch Quarantine starring Jennifer Carpenter?
No, I did.
Oddly gorgeous.
I love Oddly Gorgeous. I did watch Contagion, which is almost exactly what we're going through. Hopefully not a preview of things to come. It is one of those movies. It's like an old school movie with an all-star cast. It has Matt Damon, Gwyneth Paltrow, Lawrence Fishburne, a bunch of different stars sort of like spattered throughout, and you're seeing different versions of...
What year is it from?
It is from... Off the top of my head, I think it's like 2011 or something like that.
Okay.
It was an interesting flick to check out in this current environment. A little scary, I'll be honest, because you see how quickly the social safety net kind of breaks down and how people sort of get overly aggressive and things can escalate very quickly. Yeah. So it's a little bit scary to see how that happens. So what I would say is
don't watch
Contagion. Okay. Well, don't do that.
This is the McSauce COVID-19 survival kit. What are the things that the listeners need to do while they're stuck at home over the next 14 to 15 days?
I would say listen to good podcasts, watch good TV, read good
obviously
books,
that's the right? final thing that they should do is listen to the... I was thinking about this. I was going to save this for the last thing on the list, but we'll start.
You got the juice for it. Go for it.
The McSauce podcast now, there are 317. Hey, how about that shit? 317. What's tomorrow? St. Patrick's Day.
It is. Unfortunately, people are not going to be able to listen to this one on St. Patrick's Day.
Well, that's true, but you can still reminisce on how enjoyable your St. Patrick's Day was for 2020.
You could say, I spent it inside by myself.
You're still allowed to wear green. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You can still wear your green.
That's true.
But listen, there's 316 of these suckers out there, these McSauce podcast episodes. That is literally, if this goes on for a year, you can listen to one every weekday for a year, and you are golden. How about that?
That is true.
Could you imagine? What a treat. One McSauce episode a day.
Just one after another, where you can listen to the evolution of how we steadily got more insane. I feel like we evened out and kind of relaxed a little bit.
And that's where we are now. We're relaxed.
I feel like we're pretty relaxed. If people have seen some pictures of me laying down in podcasting,
we're historical doctors now. I don't think that, I think we're more insane than ever.
Time traveling doctors here.
That's right.
So one thing that I'd like to talk about over the weekend, as I was self-quarantining, I watched the entirety of High Fidelity on Hulu, the new TV series taken from the Nick Hornby book, which was also a film in the 1990s starring John Cusack, now reinvigorated with Zoe Kravitz as the titular Rob character. So it is one of those...
Listen to Ian and I talk about her television grandmother... on an upcoming Private Reserve episode.
We did watch the pilot of The Cosby Show, and it was interesting, to say the least. So Zoe Kravitz takes over the titular Rob character role of a record store owner, and it's sort of like a fourth wall breaking kind of situation where she's talking about her top five. They talk about top five everything, and I feel like the original High Fidelity really informed me on a lot of the way that I break down things, and I love a list. I love top five stuff and debating why I love something or why something should be in the pantheon of what I enjoy. So the film and this TV show really does a lot of that work, where they're talking about different movies, they're talking about different records, different bands, and the central theme of it are Zoe Kravitz's top five heartbreaks and why they broke her heart. And she goes back halfway through the series and goes and encounters and tracks down all these people and talks to them about, hey, why wasn't I good enough? Why did you break up with me? And learns a bunch of different things about herself and about her relationship that she didn't know in the moment. I think that I still like the movie a little bit better, but I still liked the TV series. I love the environment of being in a record store. I think it's real similar. It's a one-to-one with a comic book store and that whole vibe. I like the whole relationship angle that is played up in this show. And I like Zoe Kravitz. I think she's a great actress.
The concept of High Fidelity sounds right up your alley.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
The former longing, the looking back, the not quite being able to let go of past loves. Like, if my own worst enemy is your theme song, High Fidelity is your cinematic experience.
Yeah, I think that I like that film more and more as I grow older and older. And as we talk about records that we like, albums that we like, songs that we like, bands that we like, things that we like, and dissecting that stuff, whenever I think about why I like things, High Fidelity really informs it's sort of the scholarship of why I think about stuff is all kind of based on that film. And this TV series is sort of an extension of that. So I watched that over the weekend. I liked it. I like the series, but I would ultimately suggest the movie over mm-hmm. the series. And I guess I probably should read the book too, because I think it really is all the themes and the spirit of it is something that I really identify with.
So are you suggesting that the listeners check out, while they're quarantined, the TV show, the movie,
check out the
book?
Check out the TV show.
All of the above.
All of the above, but check out the TV show first, because that's what I recently watched. It is now on Hulu. If you have it, you can watch all 10 episodes pretty quickly. They are about 45 minutes long, but you can still blaze through that in a weekend or mm-hmm. a quarantine week when you're sitting at home and you should be working, but you're not working. I know you out there. So check out the lovely Zoe Kravitz in High Fidelity on Hulu.
Matt, what have you been up to in this this first day of mandatory quarantine?
Well, I was working today, but
I was out among the masses, spreading disease, taking in disease, just all balls deep in disease.
What have I been doing? I mean, I don't know. I've been reading some stuff and watching some stuff, but I think what the listeners can do, Disney was kind enough to release the new Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker, digitally.
Boo.
It was supposed to come out tomorrow, the 17th, but it actually ended up coming out this past Saturday, the 14th?
I believe so. Yes.
So it comes out like Saturday night. I happened to be on my Apple TV. I was going through different Friday the 13th because I was a little bit on a kick from the night before, because that was Friday the 13th. And
what a nerd.
Well, Ian, we can't all be as cool as you.
That's true.
So I saw this Own It today for Rise of Skywalker, and I was like, okay. So I bought it, and now, you guys, you can watch all 9 of the Star Wars movies all, like, in one sitting.
I like to think that Matt's fingers, like, his brain didn't actually react. It was his body that just, like, clicked, buy it now. And he was like, oh, shit, I already did it.
How much is the digital copy of
$19.99, and it has the digital copy and a number of special features and extras or whatever they're called these days.
I'm not going to balk because I'm going to pay at least...
You're not going to Chewbalk?
Punnery! Because I'm going to at least pay $20 for The Hunt and The Invisible Man this weekend because they're being released on...
The Invisible Man?
They just announced that they're both being released on VOD.
VOD?
Video on demand.
On demand. That seems old. Streaming on demand?
I didn't make up the terminology.
Wait, what is that? Is that digital purchase?
I'm going to go on Comcast and I'm going to pay like...
You're going to rent
I'm going to rent for like $9 The Invisible Man and The Hunt.
$9 is
and
fair.
And get my horror on this weekend.
Yeah, I would rent that. The Hunt, I don't fucking care about The Hunt.
Wait, $9 to rent. So good. $9 to rent one movie?
Probably.
When you can buy it for double that? Like,
I never rewatch things. It's pointless for me to actually buy things at this point. Especially something that I haven't seen before.
$9 sounds steep.
So, but it is a movie that was just released, fresh, hot off the presses.
The Hunt, yeah. Like, this stuff just came out last weekend.
Oh, my God. $9 is still high for a rental.
Yeah, you wouldn't do it.
But you pay $20 for Rise of Skywalker?
To own it. You know I'm going to watch it more than once.
Yeah,
for sure. I'm going to devour every extra on there.
Right. But, like, I don't rewatch things. I'm not a big extra guy. So, like,
just
that
wait for
seems,
it to come out, like, on Netflix
or
something.
For me.
Just wait for it for Netflix.
I can't. I want to see these movies real bad.
Weird.
I'm a horror guy, buddy.
Well, why didn't you go and see them in the theater?
Because quarantine, buddy, they came out this past weekend.
Wait, what? They came out
Invisible
in theaters?
Man, yes.
Yeah. That's what he's saying, is that he's paying a little bit extra to rent because they are fresh in the theater.
Oh, I thought they were freshly out of the theater and now
No. Like, you could go to the theater, but you won't. So they're like, we need to make this money somehow. So we will charge you $9.
I am seeing it now. Okay.
You know what I mean? So
I
like,
beg your pardon.
You're paying the price of a ticket, essentially.
I think Invisible Man was released on the 6th. The Hunt was released on the 13th. Tonight is the 16th. But they
released a new release.
They released a handful of stuff. A handful of movies that came out the last couple weekends are going to video on demand this week because we're all on quarantine and no one wants to go to the theater.
Okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood. That's a good deal.
So Bloodshot came out this week. Would you pay $9 to see Bloodshot if they do? And
not after the reviews that I heard.
Matt's impervious to the reviews.
That's true.
It is a Valiant comic.
And he should be, because fuck reviews.
What do we call Matt? We call him Valiant Matt, because he is a big Valiant guy.
Well,
would you pay $9
ever since Jeff Lemire stopped writing the character, I found him to be a lot less interesting.
Back to Image Matt.
Look at this. As soon as we start talking Valiant comics, we have
the photo shoot over here. He's taking pictures of...
I'm in.
He's taking pictures of the beer that he's lovingly drinking.
I'm excited about this. It's a CL smoothie, buddy.
I'm extolling
the virtues of CL smoothies.
I love
over
a smoothie,
your beer of choice. And I'm also listening to Matt saying that once Jeff Lemire got off the book, it wasn't quite the same. I'm all in.
So, I think that I would probably pay the $9 to see it. I assume it didn't do very well.
I don't think that has a big. It doesn't matter if it did well or not in this environment, right? Because
it does.
These are strange times.
I realize they're strange times, but I also think that If
it wasn't Corona, that movie wasn't going to do well.
I still feel like a studio would be like, it's not worth the risk. I don't care what the circumstances were around its release. It's not worth the risk to make another one, which is very unfortunate because, you know, maybe Exo Manowar was... Jesus Christ. Your little photo shoot.
Oh, buddy.
No one else supports social media on this fucking show except me. So make fun all you want, but the only fucking social media that's coming out of McSauce is coming from this fucking phone.
That's during the recording.
During the recording, yes, but I post stuff too, buddy. Anyway, boy, Matt, would you... Let's play the box office game. Matt, would you like to play?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's play box office roundup.
Would you like to do... All right. Would you like to do domestic, international, or combined?
Domestic.
Okay, we'll do domestic. Would you like the budget of this film?
I don't need it.
You don't need
it. Oh, big, bold play from Matt Cassell, not needing the budget of the movie.
Okay, cool.
He's going to guess
how much it made. This was opening weekend.
He's not guessing how much in the hole they are.
No, he's just going to guess how much. Have you ever played the box office game? He's going to guess.
No, this is actually the first time we've done box office roundup.
This is the first time we've done it, like, professionally, me saying the box office game.
Yes.
But we've done this before in varying degrees, be it a bet, be it, like, let's guess.
This is the first time it's box office roundup. Registered trademark.
Right. Yes. So podcast. Box office roundup. Matt, this was opening weekend. Would you like to guess how much Bloodshot made domestically?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say $8 million.
Very close. It was $9 million.
Mm.
That's very good, dude.
I think, I would award Matt the win for this.
Oh, no. Matt, you definitely get the win for this, Matt, because you were
slam dunk, buddy.
I would say that if you are within. If you're within $10 million, I think that you win.
It's so unfortunate. I don't think it was going to do well, but I think it would have made like maybe 25 if not for the virus.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I would have went to go see this movie. You would have went to go see this movie.
I probably would have. It was really bizarre, though, the way that they marketed this thing. I swear to God it was originally slated to come out like around Valentine's Day. And then I started seeing it was like mid-March or something. Maybe I was wrong or something, but I swear it was coming out sooner. And then it had a date that I wasn't familiar with. And on top of that, it didn't look real good.
What's shitty is that it only had a budget of $45 million. So it wasn't like some crazy movie or something like that. I feel like it should have been able to make that $45 million up in 2 weeks. Worldwide, 23. Did 14 internationally. So other people must have liked it. I don't know.
Or been less infected.
Yes. Other people were less sick.
Yeah, right. So
they could go and...
It's unfortunate because...
I have a question. Is popcorn international? Do we know? When you go to the theaters in Spain... In the UK,
that's
is it
a really
international?
Good question. I feel like
feels very American to me.
It has its origins in America,
mm-hmm.
but I don't. Fuck, I don't know.
I thought you might know.
I'm gonna guess yes because it just feels right. But...
It feels so ingrained in the. I can't go to the movies and not have popcorn. I can't, like, a small bucket, a big bucket, whatever. I can't walk through the doors, smell the popcorn, and not get at least a little bucket to go in and watch my movie.
It's, like, my favorite snack in the world. I recently bought an air popper for at home.
Yeah.
And I had some while I was watching Friday the 13th, the final chapter, on Saturday the 14th because I fell asleep 10 minutes into Friday the 13th. But the popcorn was delicious.
I'm a maniac. I live 5 minutes away from the theater that we normally go to.
Oh, no. You go to the theater.
I go to the theater, I get popcorn, I come back home.
That's insane.
I know.
That's insane. And I've been in that concession line, Ian. That is not a fun line to wait in. They are exceptionally slow.
Sometimes it's the middle of the day. It's very slow. A Saturday, middle of the day, I'm going to watch a movie at home by myself. I run down the hill. I get some popcorn. I come back.
A quick Google search, and we are not known for our searches, but a quick Google search tells us popcorn is not necessarily international. There's a lot of other weird stuff. Japan has... essentially like crispy sardines. Korea does dried cuttlefish. Russia does beluga caviar. India has samosas and vada. So, yeah, it doesn't. Barbados, fish cakes and Banks beer.
Why
baby.
Is there so much
Let
seafood
me see a
at
movie
the theater?
In Barbados.
So much sea thee.
Lithuania has kvass, a beer.
I'm getting grossed out just by this list.
Yeah, I'm disgusted by the movies. No wonder they don't
It seems like outside of America, theater goers are having appetizers, not snacks. I feel like it's like snacks and then appetizers is the step up. Like they're getting like actual food or beer.
Right, they're getting a fucking 4-course meal. Whereas we eat
nonstop
corn kernels that got hot and
You don't think that fucking extra large with a pound of butter in it of popcorn is a full course meal?
It sometimes is.
It's the same calories.
Sometimes I won't
as a
eat a meal.
It's the same calories as a entire day's worth of eating.
I have gone certain days where that was the only thing that I ate was just the popcorn, and no regrets.
So, Paul, it's been a while since we hit you for some recommendations on how we survive the current scare.
Well, this is a good place for me to let you know that I've been surviving some of this scare with online comics. And I don't normally read my comics online. I'm a
online
big,
comics. It sounds like grandpa. You know what I mean?
Well,
online comics, you piece of garbage. AOL, okay, I mean, no.
They're on AOL.com.
Make your jokes, but once I break down where I'm getting these comics from.
You rascals. You make your jokes.
Make your jokes, but once I tell you where I'm getting these comics from. Comixology and digital comics, those aren't actually real definitive words for how I'm reading these comics. I'm literally reading them online.
Webcomics, webtoons.
No, I'm talking about the Transformers comics from that porno site that you found them on, where it's literally online comics. It's scanned pages of the 1980s Marvel Transformers run. Between every third page of the comic, I've seen Marge Simpson's titties so many times reading these Transformers comics.
It's so weird. Like, who wants Marge Simpson's titties?
Kinds of Asian. It's Asian porn. It's Asian anime, video game porn. It's Marge Simpson. It's the wife from Family Guy. Like,
oh, PETA.
Oh, give me that PETA. Yeah, it's bizarre.
So you're reading scans of the original Transformers.
Which is what they do for other old digital comics, right? They just scan them in.
They do, yeah. And this site that I found was free, and I sent it over to Paul.
That online site?
I read it on Comixology. But yes, that on
right. But I don't.
That
it, I don't.
I went to AOL.com. I typed in Transformers.
http://.
Read comic online .ta.
What's TA?
Who knows? Taiwan?
I believe.
Who knows?
I believe.
No one could ever know.
I believe it's tits and ass.
TA. It's that fucking gas station up in Michigan.
That's true.
Yeah, it's...
They've been reading the old school Transformers. Let's get past how online they are.
Right.
They're scans of the old 80s Transformers whenever they... Marvel was commissioned by Hasbro. Hey, we need a full market press on this shit. We got these toys that we stole from Japan that we mashed up. We got a cartoon coming, and we need comic books, more content in kids' hands.
And
I'm sorry, Matt. I'm so sorry.
I gotta tell you. Our good buddy Luke that Matt used to work with, I still work with, he gave me a hefty chunk of the 1 through 80 Marvel Transformers run, but there's still a handful of issues missing. It's not the complete collection. So I still have to dip back onto readcomiconline.ta to get some
tits
of these
and
issues.
Ass tits and ass Transformers.
Every issue, someone transforms into a vagina. But I'm reading these books and they're really good. Like they're good. Like aside from Buster Witwicky, like Buster is a terrible name. I'm so glad they changed it to Spike for the cartoon. I'm glad they made him a brunette. Like the aesthetics of this Spike Witwicky character, which is Buster Witwicky, it's unsettling to me. But everything else has been really fucking good. It's been really cool. It's all the G1 characters. Like right out of the gate, Optimus Prime and Megatron are out. Autobots are scrambling in Prime's absence. Shockwave's taking over because he's subjugated Megatron to his will. Like it's pretty cool. I thought
because they had to make up stories outside of the regular G1 stuff, like outside of the miniseries, they had to keep going on a monthly normal comic grind.
But
so they had to do weird stuff.
They did. And if you've listened to this show long enough, you will know that I have a hard time reading old comic books. A lot of the artwork pulls me out. A lot of the coloring pulls me out. But man, these stories are, I'm really engaged. They're really good. Like I'm really enjoying it. The characters sound like themselves. Like I can hear the voice actors when Jazz and Soundwave and Shockwave speak. Like I think, Bob Budiansky's getting all the dialogue right.
Bob Budiansky.
They're so much better than I expected. I thought this was going to be a real slog getting through these original Transformers books. But
I think I collected up until like issue 25 or something like that. There was a big run with Dinobots fighting Shockwave. Did you get there yet?
Yeah, that was half an issue, and Shockwave wipes the floor with them.
Oh. I haven't read them in a while.
I just read issue 10 or 11 today. Shockwave builds the Constructicons. They wipe the floor with a handful of Autobots. Prime's still just a head, plugged up in Shockwave's lab. Like,
pretty weird.
It's weird, but it's really good. Like, I expected to read these, like, oh, let's just get through this Marvel, this old 80s Marvel stuff and get to, like, the IDW or, like, whoever got the license next. But I'm really into this, and it's been a nice way to pass the time. Ian, you're up next.
Am I up next?
I think so.
Well, one thing that I'd like to suggest is a podcast that I'm a big fan of.
The Mix Sauce Podcast.
Sure. That one, too. Really good.
Medieval Doctors Podcast.
Man, we should spin it off and have sessions where we diagnose medieval problems.
That should be the
next
comic strip that you do. Like, and I'm not saying a bit. That should just be it. Medieval Doctors.
Medieval Doctors in time. Like, the doctors know that they're fucked up.
Right.
But the patients are like, oh, please, sir.
Like every fourth panel of every strip should end with a decapitation of some kind.
I think you got it down. What could it even be named?
I think that would be the problem because, like, we would be there with the patient and would be like, you kind of just need to wait this one out. Just drink some broth. Just stay in bed. But, like, the husband would
be
like, cut her head off. You need to decapitate her. You need to cut her leg off.
She's a witch.
No, like, we don't need, she's not a witch. I promise she's not a witch. You don't need to do that.
But good doctor, I only have mud to drink.
Yeah, I think ultimately we'd be run out of town for being too progressive.
Yes. We
found this guy in St. Louis. He can make something called aspirin.
So I love how quickly the medieval doctors went to St. Louis.
we went from England to St. Louis, Missouri.
We are
time traveling doctors. That's the fucking bit. It's Outlander without the sex. What did you say?
Medieval doctors of St. Louis. I mean, that's the name of the strip. Oh, holy shit. I don't even want to talk about what I wanted to talk about before. So, the podcast that I'm going to talk about is not good as good as Medieval Doctors of St. Louis, but it's pretty good. It is called Blank Check. It features Griffin Newman, who is Arthur on The Tick, the recently canceled Amazon Prime Tick show. He also will be Orko in the Netflix He-Man show, written by Kevin Smith. And David Sims is the other person on this podcast who is a film critic of The Atlantic. And what they do, it's called Blank Check because they take a look at the filmography of different directors that directed a film that blew up, gave them almost carte blanche to do anything that they wanted in Hollywood, and follows the progression of their ride throughout Hollywood. So they've done stuff about Michael Mann, who directed Heat and Last of the Mohicans. They've also done Tim Burton. They started out actually as a podcast that mainly was about Star Wars. And so they did many, many episodes all about George Lucas and all the different Star Wars projects that he's done. And as Star Wars has released different episodes, they've gone back and checked out how the Star Wars universe has kind of progressed. So Blank Check with Griffin Newman and David Sims is a podcast that I would recommend. While it is not Medieval Doctors of St. Louis, it's still pretty good. I still like it. Matt, any other recommendations that you have over there?
I think this would be a good time for people to organize things. Paul, you could organize your closet. Ian, you could organize your garage.
I need to organize my comics is what I need to do. Well,
God damn it, you're stealing my thunder.
I started organizing my photos today. All of my wife
digital
and my
photos.
Yep, digital and analog photos as well. So getting all the photos from our shared computer, our separate computers, our phones, and also we have a bunch of photo albums that all need to be scanned in or you know, put into digital format. So today I spent a lot of time doing that. Mm-hmm. So that's an organization thing that I'm doing. Matt?
I think that's cool. Yeah, I think all that kind of stuff is valid. Paul, you're going to organize your comics after you're done organizing your closet, and I'm also going to do those things. Well, in theory, I would like to do those things.
Is your closet not organized?
No, it was at first, but over time, it just becomes... It's not that bad, but it needs some attention.
A closet for me, something that I'm in all the time, is in a constant state of organization. Like, you know, the glasses cupboard, my closet, my drawers, stuff that I am in daily, constantly organized.
Yeah.
Comics, though, I bring in a lot more single issue comics than I'm sending out, so it's time to go through that stuff and try to sell some shit off.
Yeah, I would like to do that. My comics not only need to be organized, they also need bagged and bordered. So there's a lot of work involved in that. So I wouldn't mind kind of getting that underway. But on the other hand, it's like until it's done, it feels like it's too much chaos. So it's like I don't even want to deal with it. So I have to figure out a method to kind of do it piece by piece without letting all my comics puke all over the floor. So I have to figure that out because, Ian, I'm sure you've been there too, where you start to have piles, your A's, B's, C's, and you have the whole alphabet of piles, and you're like, oh my God, this is too much.
I would have pieces of paper or post-its on like the pile, A, B, C, so I can keep it straight.
Mm-hmm.
I would have rooms, different rooms, mm-hmm. where I stretched out the living room and then I expanded over to my media room.
Oh, you mean during, like, it was during organization.
During organization.
Absolutely, yeah. Yep,
It's such a daunting proposition to the point where it's like, if I get my shit organized, I will never allow it to get
unorganized
again.
Yeah.
Actually, what'll happen is I'll never buy a comic book again. Once it's done, I'll be honest, man. Done.
I've kind of slowed down with my physical comic book buying because of that. I just don't have room or the patience or any of those things.
It really does come down to a matter of room.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, since digital has become a viable way to consume and read comics, since really 2011, in my opinion, was the real kind of like, it wasn't the dawning
moment.
Of it. It was when it finally, like, because DC started supporting it at that point, and then Marvel not long after, Comixology sort of wrangled up all the publishers and was putting everything out. I think Dark Horse was the only outlier at that point.
I think a lot of people also started buying iPads. iPads were on their second generation, so the first generation iPad was more affordable at that point, and that's where the big rush, because that's where you're going to read, despite old man Paul, you're going to read your online, your web comic
books. Online web comic books.
Yeah. You're going to read them through a Comixology, your funny books. You're going to do it through, I know he's reading them on his computer. You're likely going to do it on a tablet.
Right.
So that the format's the same. It feels the same. It has the same kind of page flipping sort of feel to it.
It's hard to beat also the fact that iPads are lit, so you can read at night. You don't have to reach for a light. You don't have to aim the light a certain way. I feel like every room in my house is a little dim.
Me too.
So, like, I'm always trying to adjust the page so that way the light's hitting it appropriately but not creating glare. And it's like, I just should read this digitally. This is, like, too much work. But I love the tangible nature of comics. I just can't escape it. As much as I have adopted digital, there's just something about the physical tangible that is so hard for me to let go. And
I don't understand that. Like, I love, have you seen any of the DC Black series or Black Label series?
Yeah,
all
man,
those,
I'm
like,
reading so much
gorgeous,
of it.
Gorgeous, thick, big books that...
Gorgeous, thick, big books.
They're delicious. They fit in your mouth so nice.
Ian likes big books and he cannot lie.
I love that murdered you guys. I recently bought Wonder Woman Dead Earth, the first two of those.
Oh, was there a second one that came out?
There's a second one. Yeah.
Okay.
And
did you read
it? Looks fucking awesome.
Deceased?
I haven't, no. I don't know if I'm into that or not.
But
it's all
Dead Earth is not the sequel to Deceased.
No.
There's a new thing coming out. I saw the cover today. It's Wonder Woman and Constantine. That's like once after deceased, once the Earth is dead.
Dead
so
Earth
it's weird
is
that
Wonder Woman like falls asleep for 100 years and wakes up and the Earth is all fucked up. It's made by, I think it's David Johnson, is a independent creator that they... gave him the reins to...
He's on this deceased follow-up book?
He's on Dead Earth,
which is
not a follow-up.
Now, is he the writer and the artist?
Yes.
Okay.
Let me... He's also done some other things that are pretty interesting that I've checked out recently.
On your iPad there?
Yeah, they're
now.
Like,
did you get Dead Earth digitally or did
no?
You...
I got it physically.
The big,
so that's
thick,
why it's the big thick boys.
Beautiful, right?
Yeah, like you can hold and you can like lick. You know, that's what I ended up doing.
They they produce the pages with a certain gloss that you can really grease them up and rub your dick between them.
What?
He said it.
Daniel Warren Johnson is the writer artist of
Daniel Johnson.
Daniel Warren Johnson, and he did a
DWJ.
He did a post-apocalyptic series for Image called Extremity that was really cool.
Okay.
That I have on my
online comics.
On my online comics, I read it before, and it's about two warring factions. The Earth is kind of not good anymore, so we have to travel closer to the stars, and these sort of like floating cities are what people live on. And there's a lot of cutting off of extremities in this book. It's pretty violent.
Yeah.
Daniel Warren Johnson also did something that's pretty cool. He did a self-published book called Old Man Skywalker. It was about old Luke Skywalker. It was sort of like an ashcan version of Luke Skywalker as an old guy just tearing up the Empire. It was black and white, self-published, made a whole bunch of them and sold them at comic cons. And I guess they go for thousands of dollars now because it was just like self-published little kind of thing. And it was pretty cool looking. I'll have to show you a little bit of that, but it's sort of like this kind of, he has a pretty cool style, I would have to say. It's a little gritty, a lot of gore and blood in a lot of the work that he does.
Turn that iPad over here.
Sorry, buddy. But yeah, Daniel Warren Johnson, really fucking cool artist, really cool creator, and he
definitely likes the post-apocalyptic, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. So, Wonder Woman, Black Label series, Dead Earth, really cool. I know you guys were talking about something, and I kind of
we were just talking about organizing.
Yeah.
And I really genuinely hope to get some of that done, but we'll see. On the other hand, I just feel like there's so much entertainment that I'm behind on that I'd like to kind of continue to just consume, you know, like I'm probably 2/3 of the way through my Black Hammer trade. That's super good. Can't wait to finish that. I'm reading two separate novels right now. Oh, that looks nice.
Go back.
That looks cool.
Dumb Slave One.
Holy shit.
I was being snarky, but those ships look really good.
Cool.
I found this dude on Twitter.
Old
Man Skywalker. You can't really.
When did this come out?
Like, this is just, like I said, this is just some self-published shit that this dude just made.
But
himself. When
did he do it?
Recently. I mean, like the last 5 years or
something. Is it pre The Last Jedi?
I believe it is right around that time.
Well, like, because the look, he looks like Luke from the sequel movies.
I think it is right
but
around that
time. We saw Luke
time.
In the sequel movies at the end of The Force Awakens.
Okay, 20.
So he could have gone home at the end of Force Awakens and banged all these out.
Yeah.
Okay, so it says, my next mini comic dated 4/22/19. So last year, he was like, hey, man, I like the look of Luke. This is what I would like to see Luke doing, which is essentially fighting the Empire by himself. And he produced this mini comic, self-published, put it out there. People bought it. And I feel like this projected, like, gave him the strength to go and, or the popularity to get hired by DC to do this
Wonder
Woman.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That's super
freaking
cool.
And, like, it looks awesome.
It really looks very cool. I want to read that.
I saw artwork for the Wonder Woman thing, and it's very indie.
This is off
DC brand.
Yeah, like this guy is a indie creator. You know, he's making indie books, but he's doing indie books with popular brands and things that we would recognize.
It has a high level of polish, though.
Oh yeah. I mean, this dude can really do some stuff.
He's very
talented. Maybe we'll even post a couple of pictures because I know this is not a visual medium. But we'll post some pictures of some of the stuff that he was doing because it's really cool. And I guess he's pretty renowned for his commission sketches, which are pretty in-depth and kind of cool looking. A lot of black and white, kind of sketchy looking stuff. But
it's awesome stuff. It makes me want to draw. Maybe that's what I'll do in my downtime.
We can do that, too. We can consume media or we can create media. I created a little media today.
What did you create?
What did you make, Paul?
I finished part two of a Jason Michael Myers comic strip that will be exclusive to probably a book that will be for sale at some point in the near future.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, so I really like drawing those guys. The Double Date series, all 13 parts. Are out on Mixoff social media. You can find them on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook.
Did the final one hit on Friday the 13th?
No, it hit on Tuesday the 10th or whatever it was. No, I think it was it on Thursday maybe. I think it was on Thursday.
So it was like Thursday, one day, one day off.
Piece of shit.
You could have nailed it.
I don't know when the last one came out. I think it was last Tuesday.
Yeah.
But there were 13 parts of it. They're all out. I got a lot of positive feedback from it.
Where do you
really
go
nice
to find
because,
those?
The MixSauce Instagram or the MixSauce Twitter or MixSauce Facebook.
Things
all
that
of,
only Paul curates.
All of those strips are up in all those spots.
What is your favorite Friday the 13th movie, by the way?
Matt, I haven't seen all of the Friday the 13th movies. I've seen 1 and 2 and Jason Takes Manhattan. And I've seen bits and pieces of Jason in Space, Jason X.
I've never seen Jason X. I haven't seen them all either, but I've seen most of them.
Oh, and I saw the remake with Jared Padalecki.
Yeah.
I thought the remake was really well done. I think it really tightened up the first couple 80s movies and, told a nice story.
I think so, too. I wish that it got more credit for being a pretty good slasher, but I think that actually the first four are all pretty good, and then it sort of starts to go really off the rails.
Yeah, like, I want to get back into a lot of that stuff and really sit down and watch them because, like, I've seen like 1 through 5 of Nightmare on Elm Street, but I don't really remember a lot of them. Yeah. And there's a good chance I've seen Jason 3, the 3D one, right? I don't remember a lot of it. But since we're on quarantine, what better time to reacquaint yourself with horror movies? Because Jason's certainly not going to come get you. You don't need to be scared. He's gonna follow quarantine protocol.
Distance.
We should do like a watch party. I don't know how we could do it. Where like you have the movie and then our video of us on the side.
Do like Google Hangouts or something like
that. Is
that
what you do?
Because
I have those movies. I can share them. We could watch them.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
That's a way to spend the lonely days at home, the couple minutes when I'm not beating off.
The couple of minutes in between
minutes.
Strokes.
We've got 24 hours in a day. Two of those minutes is when I'm free to do any other thing. That's gonna do it for us tonight. My name is Paul McGinty.
Ian Sharpley.
Matt Casal.
And I guess we'll see you when coronavirus is over.
See you at the end of the world.